Linda and I are going to do the reading today. It's called The Road to Emmaus, and it's Luke 24, verses 13 through 32. That same day, two of them were walking to the village Emmaus, about 7 miles out of Jerusalem. They were deep in conversation, going over all these things that had happened. In the middle of their talk and questions, Jesus came up and walked along with them, but they were not able to recognize who he was.
He asked, "What's that you're discussing so intently as you walk alone?" They just stood there long-faced, like they'd lost their best friend. Then one of them, his name was Cleopas, said, "Are you the only one in Jerusalem that hasn't heard what's happened during the last few days?" And he said, "What has happened?" They said, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene. He was a man of God, a prophet, dynamic in work and word, blessed by both God and all the people."
Then our high priests and leaders betrayed him, got him sentenced to death, and crucified him. And we had our hopes that he was the one about to deliver Israel. And it is now the third day since it happened. But now some of our women have completely confused us. Early this morning, they were at the tomb and couldn't find his body. They came back with the story that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive.
Some of our friends went off to the tomb to check and found it was empty, just as the woman said, but they didn't see Jesus. Then he said to them, "So thick-headed, so slow-hearted, why can't you simply believe all that the prophets said? Don't you see that these things had to happen, that the Messiah had to suffer, and only then would he enter into his glory?" Then he started at the beginning with the books of Moses and went on through all the prophets, pointing out everything in the scriptures that referred to him.
They came to the edge of the village where they were headed. He acted as if he were going on, but they pressed him, "Stay and have supper with us. It's nearly evening. The day is done." So he went in with them, and here is what happened. He sat down at the table with them. Taking the bread, he blessed and broke and gave it to them.
At that moment, open-eyed, wide-eyed, they recognized him. And then he disappeared. Back and forth they talked. Didn't we feel on fire as he conversed with us on the road, as he opened up the scriptures for us?
Some of you may remember a certain Peanuts cartoon where we see Charlie Brown. This time he was at the end of his rope. He was exasperated by the lack of cooperation that he receives from Lucy. So finally he sat with his head in his hands and asked, "Where do I go to give up?" Many of us can relate to that condition of mind. Sometimes we want to ask the same question. I've done everything I possibly can. I'm exhausted. I've tried everything. Nothing works. All hope is lost. Where do I go just to give up? Well, that's exactly where today's scripture reading began. Following the horrible crucifixion and death of Jesus in Jerusalem, two followers of Jesus wondered, where do we go now? Where do we go just to give up? The Master was dead, crucified, buried. It's over. So these two went to Emmaus. And later on in Christian tradition, Emmaus became a venue of despondency, a place where people without hope can go to end up. And since then, we can also talk of the Emmaus experience. The Bible says that it all started with understanding. These travelers on the road to Emmaus were discussing all the great events that took place. They were fortunate enough to have someone teaching them the significance of what took place in Jerusalem. What really happened? You see, Emmaus always follows Easter. Emmaus evokes soul-searching questions that Christians should ask about their personal faith. As far as these two were concerned, Jesus was dead, Jesus was buried, it was all history. So they felt hopeless, they felt alone. For them the future was bleak, and they were talking, sadly talking, about the events, the unforgettable, horrible events of Good Friday in Jerusalem so long ago. The Bible says at that time a stranger joined their walk, and he started talking about the prophecies of the coming Messiah in the Hebrew Testament, and he started explaining scripture to them. And as they walked on, finally they invited the stranger to share their evening meal. Come, stranger, we're about to eat. Stay with us. And the Bible says, while they were breaking bread, they rediscovered Jesus in the breaking of the bread. What is an Emmaus experience? Is that not what also happens when you and I gather around the communion table? The memory of the sacrifice of Jesus, our source of salvation, speaks to us and touches us deeply every time when we break the bread and pour the wine. Now their direction was away from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Their backs were turned to Jerusalem. But the discovery that Jesus was alive, the understanding that Jesus was alive, the joy of a living Christ made all the difference. Suddenly they felt their hearts burning, says the Bible. Suddenly they could for a moment forget about the cross. Their hope and their joy returned. And when their hope and joy returned, they changed direction. No longer on their way to Emmaus. Now they were going from Emmaus to Jerusalem, back to real living with Christ. That's what waited for them. We can also say, for them, the funeral turned into a festival. Even to this day, our spiritual direction is determined by our understanding of Jesus. Some people are moving away from Jerusalem with sad and somber thoughts about the good old days when Jesus was still with them. For them, Jesus is history. Some of us here in church may recall the times when we were young. Dink and I often talk how we sat around the table when our parents read, prayed. How we knelt beside the kitchen table, remembering who we were. We were God's people. So many people have left those days behind them, and Jesus has just become a figment of history. Some say, yeah, I was young then, I was full of idealism. Once he was great, but now in 2012, he's gone. There's no sign of him anymore. And people more and more in our time say sincere faith and hope in Christ are really outdated. It's history. It's over. We're living in a new era, a time where we've grown up. We are mature now. We can really do without these stories about Jesus. And that's where the decision comes in. They changed direction. And after the meeting with the stranger, they went back to Jerusalem. The place where they needed to go. Where their task was waiting. Where the challenge was waiting. Once again, they were facing Jerusalem. Real life in Christ beckoned into their future. And now they're filled with faith, hope and love, ready for action and service. Because something real, dramatic and lasting happened in their lives. Brother, sister, God is faithful. Nothing has changed since the dawn of Christian faith. Either you have a living faith that sustains you or you do not. There is a line between being cold and uncaring or warm and loving. It is between the heart that is defeated and filled with doubt and despair or the heart that is hopeful and filled with excitement and expectation. And you know what? Let's not fool ourselves. Anyone can read you and me like a book. If we as Christians had an Emmaus experience, we will simply not be able to hide it, to keep quiet and not talk about it. There is no way to hide the presence of a living faith in our lives. It is noticeable in the way that we deal with one another, in the way that we walk, the way that we talk. When Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly, he was referring to a quality of life based on the faith that we carry within. So finally, after the crucifixion, after the first Easter morning, these two understood who Jesus really was. Daybreak followed their night of darkness. Everything he told them suddenly made real sense. And from that moment on, they were involved. No longer could they possibly journey to Emmaus. As they broke the bread, they discovered the presence. Jesus became visible in the breaking of the bread. And that is the story that we're celebrating today. That is exactly how Jesus opened the door to a true, real, lasting relationship with God. We used to sing a little song. I remember it from my mother's knee. Simply into my heart. Into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Amen.